Good morning. Welcome one and all to this Sunday morning worship on this third Sunday in 2024. Every Sunday we celebrate good news, don't we? We worship the living God who daily brings us good news. And today we will break bread and drink wine together to remember the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, our Messiah and Saviour of all creation. And today it's especially good to share in communion with a Jewish brother in Christ from Jews for Jesus, Boris Skvortsov. So welcome, Boris. Boris is UK Director of Jews for Jesus. So we welcome you in the name of Jesus and we look forward to all you will bring to us this morning. Let's also welcome our Zoomers, because together we are Kerry Baptist Church. We've got some people on Zoom this morning as well. So we've got Pat and Norman, Christine, Mina. Hiya, welcome, good to see you all. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, okay. Let's start our worship, shall we, with song. For the Beauty of the Earth is our first hymn this morning. For the Beauty of the Earth. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we offer to you this day our sacrifice of praise. We come into your house with your people to offer you our praise and worship. You are our Father God, our Saviour, our King, our Good Shepherd. Lord, there are so many ways in which we can give you thanks today. We thank you that you are indeed our Creator. So, Lord, as we come before you as we are, help us to know your welcome, your loving arms stretched out towards us, and to all creation. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence among us this day and always. Let's gather up our thoughts and prayers now as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now over to Charlene for our first reading. I just lost you there for a minute, Charlene. Okay.
Good morning, church. Our first reading is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9, from verse 6 to 9. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family." Amen.
Thank you, Charlene. Yes, we just heard one of the most wonderful little stories from the biggest of all books, the Bible. David is crowned as king of Israel. What is the first, one of the first things that he does? Does he throw a big banquet in his own honor to celebrate his triumph? Does he kill all of his enemies within Israel? No. David actually looks to share his riches and his triumph. He seeks out the one last person who could be his biggest enemy. That's Mephibosheth. Yes, you heard that right. From now on, I'm going to call him Mephi, okay? Mephi. He was the grandson of the former king, Saul, so he had a claim to the throne, probably the first in line to the throne in Saul's remaining family, surviving family. But what does David do? He gives Mephi all of his inherited family riches, which now belonged to David as the new king, and he also offers him a lifetime supply of the best food straight from the king's table. Now, it's not just about what is on the king's table. There's some amazing food, no doubt. But it's the fact that Mephi's been offered a permanent seat to eat with the king every day of his life. Now, Mephi can't believe his ears when the king tells him this good news. He is overwhelmed by this amazing invite. Like Willy Wonka's golden ticket, only a lot better, if you like. This is a picture of what happens whenever we share communion together. Like Mephi, we can only say, "Who am I? Who am I that you should share this feast with me?" But the King Jesus, our King Jesus, simply says to us, "I share all my riches with you because I can and because I want to." Hallelujah. Look forward to sharing with you around the table of our King later. In the meantime, let's sing "This is Amazing Grace."
Grace above.
We'll continue our worship as we take up our morning offering. And after the offering, Tamsin will take the children out to Children's Church in a moment. So let's take up this offering. And if you're a visitor to the church, please don't feel obliged to give to this offering. It's an offering for the work of Carey Baptist Church. Thank you. Please stand. Lord Jesus, we praise you because you have declared and demonstrated Jubilee, freedom for us and all creation. You came and preached peace both to those who are near and to those far away. So as we offer you these gifts, as well as gifts given in other ways, we bring you our heartfelt thanks and worship, the worship of our lives. And now we ask, Lord, that you would bless the children and their leaders as they go to their groups now, should I say. Amen.
Newsletter is on the desk here at the side of the hall for you to pick up.
So we want to mention the date is wrong on the notice. So it is the right week. It's just right. We got the wrong date on it.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mention that. I thought they might not notice. Anyway, yeah. As this is our communion service, you will know that we always have a retiring offering, and the retiring offering today is Jews for Jesus, and the basket is on the side table. Thank you. Right, the listening day, that is Saturday the 17th of February. As you know, all members and friends of Carey have had a letter explaining what this is. Do attend if you can. Colin's going to say a few words later, but we do ask for your reflections and thoughts, and you can put them in on the day or in advance and let Colin have them. You can attend this listening day. You don't have to contribute your reflections or your thoughts. You can come along and listen to what else is to be said. Jill and David Blunden are going to be starting their Lent study guide soon. This will be on Zoom and it will be in the morning. Jill will let you know the time in due course, but if you're interested, it's going to be around the title Embrace the Middle East. So if you wish to join this Lent study group, please speak to Jill or David after the service. Thank you. And is that all, Jill? Yeah. Embrace the Middle East, healing and hope. Oh, I see. Healing and hope in the one household of God. I'm not doing so well today, am I? Anyway, lastly from me, I do the rotas. They're coming out soon. For those of you who have already replied, thank you very much. There are one or two replies that I'm waiting on, so if they can be in by Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. Yeah. So many things to think about. Yes, I've got another thing to add to the notices, which we only just got this week, but because it is, and there's not enough space to add to the newsletter, so but because it's Friday this week, I thought I'd mention it now. It's Friday the 26th of January, cost of living pop-up advice sessions. That's actually either at South Hill Centre or the Roundhouse in the middle of town. Okay, so that's 10 till 2 on Friday, 26th of January. Okay, so I'll leave that over here so you can have a look at that if you want to refer to that. But okay, and just to say, yeah, the listening days, we've got a sign-up sheet. Now, I shouldn't really call this a sign-up sheet because this is for anybody who, whether you're coming or not, basically. So if you want to put your name down and say that you're not able to attend, and other things on here, that'd be great. But we're going to pass this round so we get a clearer idea as possible of how many people are going to be there on that Saturday, the 17th of February. Okay, so after Kathleen has done the reading, I'll pass this to her so you can pass it round during the service, and so we can make sure that we've got as many people responded, and you know, we know how many people are going to be there on the Saturday, the 17th of February. So, okay, I think unless there's anything else. Oh, yeah, actually, there is one other thing. Yeah, I should mention that after the service, after our communion, we offer prayers for help and healing. So there will be, Shami and Raphael will be on hand in that room over there after the service to pray with people if you need particular prayers, whatever that happens to be between you and God and them. So, yeah. Okay, so it's good for us to offer that opportunity for people to have people pray with them. So, yep. Okay, so our second reading now is Matthew chapter 2.
I hope I get through this better. Put up with me again. Right, what am I doing? Matthew 2, 13 to 23. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Kathleen. Did much better the second time round, yeah. Brownie points there, yeah, excellent. I don't know if you could hear that earlier. The children in children's church were really enjoying themselves. So I thought about closing the door, but I thought, no, actually, I'll leave it open. It's good to hear them enjoying themselves. So, yeah. We're going to sing now. "We limit not the truth of God. We limit not the truth of God." And then Boris is going to come and share with us. Thank you, yeah.
Thank you. Good morning. Hi. Well, good to see you all. It's my first time here, so pleased to be with you this morning. I live not too far away, actually, in Barnet, so half an hour or so. So really pleased to be here with you. It's a pleasure. My name is Boris, Boris Skvortsov, and I'm a UK director of Jews for Jesus Ministry. Some of you are familiar with the ministries, I've heard, so that's great. And yeah, I'm happy to be with you this morning and give some ministry updates. And we might have some Q&A at the end if you guys want. I had a slide there if you want to just... There you go. So that's my inner team, if you want. That's my family there. That's Geffen, my wife, and our two daughters. I was born in Russia, and my parents relocated to Israel when I was just a baby. So I grew up in Israel all my life and came to faith at the age of 17. Grew up in a home of Jewish believers in Jesus. And I can expand on that if you want later. But I just wanted to connect so you have some, to get to know my family a little bit. These are two daughters. They're getting British by the moment, which is interesting for us as Israelis. We moved to the UK 4 years ago. We've been working with Just for Jesus in Israel for about 7 years, and I've been asked to come to the UK to lead the work here in the UK. And it's been an interesting ministry and challenging. I think Just for Jesus in the UK is very known for a very direct approach, and we have been for many, many years. And a part of the, shift in missiology or approach to ministry is thinking about our culture a little bit. And I think, it might be that some of the things that I'll share with you will resonate, because we're all here to make disciples. And if you can just click the next slide. That's our team in the UK. Maybe you know some of them. Not a big team, but a very dedicated bunch of people, Jewish believers in Jesus. So this is some of the admin staff and the missionaries that we have on the ground here in the UK, in North London. That's where the Jewish community is, mainly, an Israeli community. So that's our team. There you go. So, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Jewish ministry, or actually, how many of you have Jewish family or friends or Israeli friends? Yeah? That's quite a lot. All right. So, I don't know. Well, so, you probably know, when I talk about Jewish ministry, how challenging that might be. And as someone who grew up in Israel and being Israeli myself, I know very well, my people. And, it's the same people we read about in the Bible. It's tough ministry, let me tell you. It's tough ministry. So I wanted just to touch on the context and the challenges that that we have. And you might, see similarities within your own communities or people you're trying to reach out to. So Jewish people, generally speaking, and Israelis, wouldn't know that you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus to start with, right? A lot of Israelis that we minister to never heard of Jewish believers in Jesus, or the very idea that it is even possible to be Jewish and believe in Jesus. They wouldn't know. Jesus was Jewish, and the New Testament is written by Jewish people, to Jewish people at first, with a Jewish mindset of Second Temple period. It's a Jewish document. They wouldn't know that. And many of us in the church maybe are not really conscious of that many times. The context is Jewish. The context is Israel. And so they're very surprised by this. And there's a lot of, ignorance among Jewish people about New Testament, about Jesus. There's a lot of prejudice. There's a lot of fear. And there's a lot of emotional baggage. Because we associate, generally speaking, Jesus and the New Testament with anti-Semitism and the Holocaust and whatnot. So, it's a tough field. How do you even start? How do you even begin to talk with someone about the gospel? And you might similarly think the same about some people you're trying to reach out to, or it's been difficult to speak with people in your own communities or families about your faith, about the gospel. And it is challenging. So that's the context we're at. it's a tough field. And, you know, I tell to my wife from time to time, wow, this is, like, you can't do this work unless you have like sense, like clear sense of calling to do this. So we've realized that to even start a conversation, and again, how do you even approach all of this? This huge emotional baggage, those challenges, the way it's even perceived, and the fact that Jewish people know very little, generally speaking, about Jesus in the New Testament. We regard to it as something very foreign, not for us. Yeah, this is for the Gentiles. This is not like for us. So how do you even start? And what we realized in Just for Jesus, after years of doing direct ministry, you probably know us as a ministry that is heading out leaflets and being very direct, and God can work through anything, and God is working in different cultures in different way. And a lot of this approach that we've seen in Israel and around the world, globally, shifting towards more of a relational approach, what we call, and just, well, sharing the gospel authentically and naturally wherever you are, with whoever you are, with your all sides of your personalities and character and all points of interest. I'll get to that later on. But this is a little bit of the context and common and the challenges. So we've come kind of to the place in ministry, and that's interesting to think through, right? To how do you approach a certain key audience? Or you might think of people here in Hemel Hempstead, or in your work, or in gym, or library, or university. How do you approach them? How do you create a common ground to even have some spiritual conversation, right? And this is very interesting as we, you know, navigate that or think through that. It's interesting to read about it in, you know, in the New Testament. I love the example of Paul in Athens, that's Acts 17, if I'm not mistaken, when he's using Greek mythology, is pointing this unseen God that you're worshiping, I came to proclaim to you, using something within the culture to contextualize and speak to the gospel, which is very interesting. Moses is doing the same. In my theological studies in Israel, I came across this scene, which I never understood. The golden calf, right? Why is he cutting the golden calf and putting it in bowls and give the people of Israel to drink? I never understood that until my studies, when I realized, oh, this is the context. This is a Canaanite ritual. This is how you kill a god in a Canaanite culture. And Moses is saying, this is a dead god. Worship the God of Israel alone. So culture and context and the way that we communicate differs. And it's interesting so that people can understand your message or what it means. What is the gospel? What do you mean when you say Messiah? Sinful. Why am I sinful? What does it mean? And what is salvation? And so forth. But creating those common grounds is what we're about in Just for Jesus. How do you create common ground? And the fact is that it's, as I've mentioned, when you see evangelizing and sharing the gospel as something that is natural, and a natural outcome of the gospel's impact in our lives, in our hearts, then it will produce a fruit. It cannot but naturally produce and naturally happen. So, and that being said, my point is, anything in your life can be, in fact, used, or should be used for the gospel. Now, I want to challenge you with that, because that's an interesting notion. And I started with this because I think that's kind of that's defining our ministry. And so, common grounds in our context with Jewish people, with Israelis, is that we've observed, and being Israeli myself, I know coming here, the need, the deep need, being away from home and being in a different culture and country and language and mentality and all of that, the need for Israeli expression of culture, the need for community, the need for a sense of belonging. In many ways, we share that. So this is something common. And so when we realized the needs, these deep needs in our culture, we started to think, how can we translate cultural insight into practical ministry? And that's exactly what we're doing, and still working in progress. But we saw how relationship and trust provide the ground for spiritual conversation. How it helps with time, sometimes straight away, sometimes it takes a lot of time, to disarm prejudice, fear, ignorance, emotional baggage that people have about the gospel. That's true not only about Jewish people or Israelis. That's true about any key audience, any community, really. But that's very true about Jewish ministry, and that's what we're doing, creating the ground, serving our community, and building those relationships and trust. Now, people are very suspicious still. So they would come, they would know they're coming to our ministry house in North London. They know it's run by Jews for Jesus. It's all out there. We are being as transparent as we possibly can, because people need to know where they're coming to. And there's always suspicion. But once you get to know people, once they get to know you, and you're serving them, you're creating this community for them, it's just enough to, you know, to take this prejudice and ignorance and fear just a little bit down, to have some conversation. And questions are followed. So that's kind of our approach to ministry, and that's what we're doing. If you can click on the slide there. That's our from our ministry house in North London. So this is where we are building community for Israelis. This is from Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. What we'll do is we'll have different feasts together. In Israel, the vacation days are the biblical feasts. And so this is a great opportunity and great common ground to have that, as we all grew up in it and know it. And more so, the feasts are pointing, all of them, to what God has done for us in the past, and also point towards the Messiah and what he will do and done for us in the Messiah itself. So this by itself is bridging to the gospel. Okay. The feast, coming together, the nowhere Jewish believers in Jesus, they never met Jewish believers in Jesus. They're curious, still suspicious, but that's how we build this relationship. And the idea is that in that ministry house is that everyone comes and brings meal together like we used to in Israel and help to build together. And so there's this mutual sense of, you know, of contributing and belonging. If you can click. Building community, so it's all about that, as I've shared. This guy here on the left came to the UK, a week after the attack on Israel. And actually he came from the kibbutz, where was hit the most by the war. He basically survived the attack by just coming to the UK and is now part of our community. So just, that's that. But building this community, especially in times of grief and pain, war, and shock that we're all still are, gives this sense of a family and support that people need so much. So this is part of that. This is the community. This is from one of our feasts, but we're doing all sorts of, Purim and Hanukkah and Passover and Rosh Hashanah and all of that. And people seek community, especially Israelis, because here Israelis mostly are secular. They're not religious. There are those who are following rabbinical Judaism, but most Israelis, I would say, are secular. And one of the things that we saw is that they are looking for non-religious communities or places. Now, they know we're believers in Jesus, so they're still suspicious, but at least that's an alternative for the religious Orthodox communities that we have in the context here in the UK. If you can click. As I said, when you see the gospel as something natural outcome of being disciple of Jesus, any part of your personality can be and should be bridged to the gospel. You can use any part of your personality, any hobby, any point of interest, the way that you rest at the gym, right? You meet people all the time. Should be and can be bridged to the gospel. And that's connecting well with building community and the things, the activities that we're doing in the ministry house, like arts, music, macrame for moms. If you can click the slide, please. Feast, workout for moms. And what we saw after almost 2 years that we do that now, is that people from the community are coming and initiating and calling their own friends and family to come to our ministry house, knowing we are Jewish believers in Jesus, which really shows the trust and relationships that there are. So some of them wouldn't want to talk about spiritual matters straight away, of course. They're still suspicious, they don't know, they're not sure. The fact that they came is a big step by itself, you see. But sometimes, slowly, maybe most of the times, when the relationship is there, you can see the questions just pending there in their minds. They're dying to ask you what it is. How is it even possible? What does it mean you're a Jewish believer in Jesus? Why is that, you know, and why do you say that Jesus is, why is the our Messiah, according to our prophets in the Bible? Is there anything more Jewish than the Bible, our Bible, you know? And so that's the sort of conversations that we're having. So just a snapshot, that's my daughter over there. She decided to do an afternoon tea party for her friends. And so like five families showed up and in the ministry house. And again, they're coming, they know it's just for Jesus, they know we believe it's in Jesus, they choose to come, and often spiritual questions followed. This is a drama sketch we did in Passover, on the left there. Can you click, please? During the war, recently, we had many opportunities. Our ministry house, we were able to host stranded Israeli families who got stuck in the UK because of the war. So this is, again, just something that's just a snapshot. In Israel, our team, we've seen double the requests for books, New Testament and different books. Also, we have a lot of volunteers who are helping on the team, on the ground with the team, give away food parcels to both Jewish families and Arab families. Almost all of our staff in Israel were recruited to reserves, and there is a good, actually, network in Israel. We're working with different congregations and organizations together to serve those in need. So this is, yeah, just a word on that. We are struggling in Israel to, one specific thing is to open up a new place in Jerusalem. We're struggling to find a place there, a space, where, again, like a coffee place where we can create this community for artists and share with them. We see a lot of suspicion there. But this is, I don't know if you have any questions or any things in mind. Can you click for the last one? Yes, gospel impact. So through that, this is very encouraging to see. With the common grounds and the different events that we're doing, on the right there is one Jewish younger brother who contacted us through his church, got interested in the gospel, and alongside his church, we've been able to walk with him, and he got baptized 2 weeks ago. That's the fellow over there. Please keep praying for him. His father is very opposed to his decision. They're not ultra-Orthodox, but they are, you know, traditional. And his dad is furious with him, and there's a lot of challenges there. And nonetheless, he chose to follow Jesus. And that's very exciting to see. This is very rare. I don't have a lot of pictures of that. This is very, very rare to see. Yet, as I've said, any conversations we'd have with Jewish people is a breakthrough by itself. Sometimes I think that's all our work, perhaps, is breaking those boundaries, this prejudice and ignorance and just fear, this huge emotional baggage that people have when you even mention Jesus in the New Testament. So this is a huge encouragement for us, for the team. One of the events that we're doing is Dad's Meeting. I'm exploring men's ministry and how we communicate, or rather not communicate with each other. So that's been interesting. But that's an example of communicating over a barbecue. And we have actually two meetings now. So this one I'm doing is just a barbecue for Israeli dads, local dads who come together. And we complain about the boss, basically. Then there's another guided men's circle, which another friend started, the ministry house, which is also very interesting. Mom's meetings, families, gatherings, feasts, music, arts, If you have an idea for an activity, I'd love to hear it. We'll add that along. But again, just to encourage you, if you have any natural hobby, anything that you can think of that is actually can be natural common ground for the people around you in your communities, pray about it. Write me. I'll love to brainstorm with you or help you to develop any patterns of that. I love that stuff. That's what I, you know, that's my passion, really, to develop those patterns of ministry, but also to think through missiologically, what are those cultural insights that we can translate into practical ministry. So that's that. If you can click again, maybe I forgot. Oh yeah. Yeah, this is us again. If you want to know or what to pray for specifically, we can send you a monthly free newsletter, or you can write to me, reach out. I'm here. I'll give you my email. We're on social media as well. That's that. Yeah, that's our ministry in a nutshell. So I don't know if you guys have any questions or thoughts or anything at all. Feel free. Yeah, later. We'll do it later. All right. Great. Thank you.
A really good insight into the work of Jews for Jesus here and elsewhere, and it's also just shows we could learn an awful lot from Jews for Jesus as a church, because sharing the good news is all about creating common ground, all about building bridges, finding ways to build bridges with people, and that's something we could all do in different ways. So thanks very much, Boris, and there'll be opportunities. Tim has a question, but we'll come back to that after the service, all right, Tim? I know I'm sure there are people who've got dying to ask questions, and I'd encourage you, if Boris has got time, for you to have a chat with him after over coffee, okay? So that's probably the best way, but because we've got other stuff to do. But yeah, wonderful. Okay, thanks, Boris. Yeah, we're gonna sing now. Before we pray, we're gonna pray for Jews for Jesus and other matters as well. We're gonna sing a song together. O Lord, hear my prayer. We're gonna sing this twice together, and then I'll let you know what we're gonna do after that. Okay, so let's stand and pray, and let's sing as we do. Prayer. Come and listen to us. Oh Lord, hear our prayer. Oh Lord, hear our prayer. When we call, answer us. Oh Lord, hear our prayer. Oh Lord, hear our prayer. Come and listen to us. Please be seated and let us pray together. This is a prayer for a world in which God seems absent. Where were you, Lord, when the planes struck and the towers came crashing down? What did you do to stop it? Why were you out of town? Where were you in the Balkans when the streets ran red with blood? And how about the shantytown engulfed by streams of mud? Why don't you end the famine? Why don't you stop the war? How can you let these things happen? What can it all be for? Lord, is it wrong to ask you, faithless to speak our mind? Shouldn't we look for answers? Don't you say seek and find? Yes, we know how much is beyond us, truth often hard to discern, but we're ready and willing to listen, eager and hungry to learn. Don't think we're daring to judge you, set ourselves up in your place. Some things we know must stay hidden, at least till we meet face to face. Yet in a world where so many feel faith and hope are in vain, give us some sign, Lord, we beg you, to prove you are here in our pain. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have already given us a sign of your commitment to us and your planet. You sent Jesus to save us, to be our good shepherd, to be a light to the world and a hope for all nations. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for our brother in Christ, Boris. We thank you for the ministry of Jews for Jesus here in the UK, in Israel, and across the world. And we pray that you would continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon Boris and Jews for Jesus. We pray they would continue to see a rich and fruitful harvest of people coming to faith in Jesus. And we pray this for ourselves here at Carey also. Heavenly Father, as we approach another Holocaust Memorial Day, we pray for those still grieving the horrific murder of their loved ones in Nazi death camps, both from the Jewish people and other people groups and communities targeted in a lesser way. And we pray for families who lost loved ones on the October the 7th, those still waiting and hoping for the return of loved ones taken hostage. Heavenly Father, we dare to pray that Hamas will renounce its determination, its mission statement for another Holocaust of all Israeli Jews. And Heavenly Father, we also dare to pray for the government of Israel to halt its killing of civilians in Gaza and the destruction of infrastructure there. Heavenly Father, we even dare to pray that a new state of Israel will start the long journey towards together building a Palestinian state. Let not Israel be praying for the return of Donald Trump to the White House. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the vision of Jesus, King of Kings. Behold, I'm making all things new. Praise you, Lord. Amen. As we prepare to break bread and drink wine together, we're going to sing two songs. Because this is our common ground. Boris was talking about common ground. This is our common ground, where we come together as one people to praise God for all that he's done for us through Jesus, for us and all creation. So we're going to be helped by Andre and Irina as they sing You Say and also a song called Remembrance.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know who are you. Say I am loved when I can feel it. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short and I don't belong. Oh, you say I am yours and I believe. Oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my voice, in you I find my identity. Oh, you say I am loved when I can feel the thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short, when I don't belong. Oh, you say I am yours and I believe. I believe what you say of me. I believe. Taking all I have and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. Oh, you say I'm loved when I can feel it in. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short, when I don't belong. Oh, you say I am yours and I believe. Oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe, oh, I believe. Yes, I believe what you say of me. I
believe. Remembrance. This is a song you might remember. We have sung this one before.
I take the bread of life, broken for my sin. Your body crucified to make me whole again. I will recall the cup poured down in sacrifice to trade this sinner's end for your new covenant. Hallelujah, I live my life in remembrance. Hallelujah, your promise. walk salvation's road. With fear and trembling, your way born as my own. As Christ is forming me, alleluia. I live my life in remembrance. Alleluia. Your promise I won't forget. If ever I should lose my way, if ever I deny your grace, remind me of the price you paid. Hallelujah.
So we say these gathering sentences. Lord, gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and the aching, who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Lord, gather us in, from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, be given a seat, be joined to the vine, be offered new wine. Become like the least, be found at the feast. Gather us in. If the deacons would like to come and join me and Shammy as well, so we can share bread and wine together. Thank you. This is the table not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come if you have much faith and if you have little, if you've been here often and if you've not been for a long time. If you've tried to follow and if you've failed, Come not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that we should meet him here. Thanks be to God. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he lifted the cup after the supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Shami is now going to lead us in a time of a prayer of thanks for bread and wine. Thank you.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, with so much of love and gratitude in our hearts, we come into your presence. Lord, you said, "Do this in remembrance of you, Lord." In this quietness, we take time to remember your amazing, great sacrifice for our sins, Lord. We remember your body broken and shed blood, not for anything what you've done, Lord, but because you were paying the penalty for our sins. Before we take this bread and drink this cup, we repent for any sins we have committed before you. We repent individually, we repent as a family, we repent as a church, we repent as a nation. We are so sorry, Lord. And we ask you for one thing, that you help us never to repeat the sins we've done, and help us never to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the suffering you went through, the precious blood you shed for us, where each drop is invaluable. Thank you for taking that shameful place on the cross where we should have been hanging there, Lord. We really have no words to thank you. So we say, as a family, together we say that we love you, Lord. Help us to live a life worthy of our calling, worthy of that saving grace, Lord. Help us to live lives pleasing in your eyes. Help us to grow in your favor. Help us to serve you in truth and in spirit, Lord, and worship you. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for this amazing blessing. For you've called us to your table, Lord, that we don't even deserve. And we ask this from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Shami. This is the bread of life, the bread of heaven, given, broken for you. Please take and eat with thanksgiving. If you don't feel you're able to take bread and wine, just allow the bread and wine to pass. This is a table that is open for all those who love the Lord Jesus and seek to follow him in their daily lives. Thank the Lord. Let us drink together to remind ourselves that we belong to one family. Jesus died for us and all creation. Thanks be to God. From where we are to where you need us, Father, now lead us on. from the security of what we know to the adventure of what you will reveal. Jesus, now lead us on. Because good things have been prepared for those who love God. Holy Spirit, now lead us on. Amen. A hymn of rejoicing to finish. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Just before I give the blessing, just to remind you, there is a retiring offering here for Jews, for Jesus. You might want to think about that on your way out or subsequently after the service. There is also prayers will be offered for people in the room over there. So if you need someone to pray with you, please go and join Charlene and Raphael after the service. May the Lord bless us and make us to be a blessing to others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.